This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Mississippi Edition is your source to stay up to date on what's happening across the state. I'm Desiree Frazier. Tune in weekday mornings at 8:30 as we bring you in-depth interviews on some of the state's most pressing issues. From the Mississippi State Capitol to communities across the state, we keep you informed. Healthcare, education, and economic development are just some of the issues we tackle. Listen to Mississippi Edition, Monday through Friday at 8:30 only on MPB Think Radio.
Welcome to In Legal Terms from MPB Think Radio, the show all about you and your rights. We're swapping up hosts for today. I'm Marissa Vaughn from MPB, and my co-host is Adam Kilgore, General Counsel for the Mississippi Bar. Welcome back, Adam. We at MPB are glad you're able to join us today to help host In Legal Terms.
Thank you, Marissa. It is always good to be with you and with this crew. We got the backup quarterbacks today. I always joke that when I fill in for Professor Gershon, which is always a thrill, that I'm the backup quarterback, and now you are too. As I understand, Liz was chasing an eclipse yesterday.
Oh, that's what I hear.
Well, I hope she found it. A lot of people did. And I look forward to hearing from her when she gets back. But we're very glad to be with you today. And speaking of being glad, we're also glad to have with us the Public Service Commissioner for the Northern District of Mississippi, Chris Brown. Mr. Brown was elected this past November to the post. He previously represented Itawamba, Lee, and Monroe counties in the state legislature. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner Brown. Are you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. It's good to meet you. We're really glad for you to join us today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and why you wanted to serve on the Public Service Commission?
Sure. Good to have you. Good to be here, Marissa and Adam. And in North Mississippi, we had overcast and rains. We didn't get to see the eclipse, unfortunately, up here. But hopefully Liz found it. I decided to run for public service commissioner because I have a family, obviously. I've been eighth generation North Mississippian, lived up here my whole life, and just wanted to make sure that the ratepayers are heard and that issues that kind of continue to fester are being addressed, and people have that security of low rates and reliable power, water, and sewer. A little bit of my past, I was a business guy for years. I was in the RV industry, so I had numerous businesses in Northeast Mississippi. I sold those out 2 years December, so it gave me more time to focus on serving the state of Mississippi. I am a father of five and three grandkids, so there's never a dull moment in Nettleton, Mississippi for me. it's been a good learning curve for us. You know, there's three new members of the Public Service Commission. First time that's happened in a while. So my colleagues in the Central District is Commissioner Stamps, and then in the Southern District, Commissioner Carr. So we got off to a good start and working well together, and look forward to serving the state of Mississippi with those two guys. I mean, we got a great team at the Public Service Commission in Mississippi now.
That's good. And tell us, the Public Service Commission is a term I think all of us have heard. But I suspect many listeners, including the one that's talking to you now, doesn't really fully appreciate what it is the Public Service Commission oversees. So tell us, what do you regulate? And also, as a follow-up question, do you coordinate with federal agencies in your work as well? But first, what is it that the Public Service Commission does?
Yeah, thanks, Adam. We regulate electric, gas, water, and wastewater. We do have regulation over public utilities, and that takes various forms depending on the entity type. The simplest way to put it is if a customer doesn't have any say-so in the operations and decision-making of that utility, the Public Service Commission has full jurisdiction over it. If they do have some input, like aldermen or a co-op board or things like that, we have limited oversight. With the full oversight, we full jurisdiction over those of the utilities that don't have any constituent or ratepayer input. We have to sign off on, we approve their budgets. We have to sign off on all their capital expenditures. These utilities are like Entergy, Mississippi Power Company for electricity, Atmos and CenterPoint for gas, and Great River, which is a new company that's kind of moved in the Mississippi the last 3 or 4 years that provides water and wastewater.
And I feel like I've written checks to almost every entity you just listed. You've used the term ratepayer, if I heard you correctly, twice. That sounds like that might be a key term of art for our listeners to understand. Tell me what that is.
Those are people that pay the bills.
Anybody
that accepts a bill, that's the ratepayer. So the Public Service Commission, somewhat, we're set up as that firewall between those monopolies and the ratepayers. So if you have a monopoly, like those electric companies, gas, water, wastewater, you can only get that service from one person. So there's really no market, to kind of control their pricing and what they do. So the Public Service Commission was set up to try to be that firewall for the people of Mississippi and that ratepayer.
Payer. See, that's what was throwing me off. Payer, P-A-Y-E-R.
That's correct.
There we go. Payer, okay. Yeah. I was trying to figure out who was paired off.
Yeah, ratepayer. So those that pay, and we all pay those bills. And so that's our job as the Public Service Commission is to be that advocate for the people that are paying the electricity, water, gas, and wastewater. That second bucket that you're talking about that they have, if you have input, like your rural water associations and some of your co-ops, if you have direct input on who represents you on those boards, then we have very limited regulatory authority over those. It's very complicated as far as who we have authority over and who we don't, who we have regulatory power over. There is two buckets, I guess you could say there.
All right. Well, thank you, Commissioner Brown. We're going to take a call really fast. Sure. We've got Roger from Florence on the line. Roger, what can we help you with today?
Hey, Roger.
Well, what a delightful panel you have there. Adam, I hope I see you at the convention. I haven't been there in many years, and I'll say at the outset that you may or may not agree. We used to do this in Mississippi until Katrina or thereabouts, and so now we go to Florida. We've been back one time to Mississippi for this huge convention, which drops a lot of money where it is, and we're going to Destin, Florida. I complain about that.
Yes, sir, you do, Roger. It's always good to hear from you, even when you're complaining. I appreciate the concern there. We are trying to mix it up here at the Mississippi Bar. We did go to the coast this past year. We are scheduled for Destin, but we'll be back in Mississippi too.
Okay, I'll see you then. Now, here's my purpose of my call. It's another complaint from the I use my octogenarian privilege for these complaints, although I never was a young lawyer, but I was a new lawyer, and now it's 50 years. I think that Mississippi Bar should be embarrassed at not charging bar dues for lawyers who are practicing, presumably making a good living, and they don't have to pay any bar dues. Now, that's wrong, and the public, if they knew that, would say, what do you mean you don't have to be? You're a member of the bar. Why don't you support the bar? The other thing is, I learned this when I reached 75, I guess. You know the rules. I don't have to have any continuing legal education. So I don't have to stay up to date on legal matters because I'm exempt. Now, listen, if you're practicing law, you ought to be teaching or taking continuing legal education. That rule ought to be changed, Adam. Okay, those are my two complaints. And I'll listen to you, but I put you on the spot.
Always glad to hear from you, Roger. So what Roger's referring to is lawyers do not have to take continuing legal education after the age of 70. And you don't, if I heard you correctly, sir, also lawyers do not have to pay dues after age 75 by statute. And so I think that is the basis for some of your opinion there, Roger. And I appreciate you sharing it. I am still encouraged by the practice of law, and I know you're proud to be a lawyer, too, and we're glad to have you one.
This is In Legal Terms. We are swapping up hosts for today. I'm Marissa Vaughn from MPB, and my co-host is Adam Kilgore, General Counsel for the Mississippi Bar. Your rights are being determined right now by the Mississippi Legislature. To find out what's going on, the MPB News program At Issue airs Fridays at 6:30 p.m. on MPB Think Radio. You can find video and audio of that show on the Mississippi Public Broadcasting YouTube channel. Host Michael Guidry will be joined by Republican Austin Barber and Democrat Brandon Jones for weekly recaps and roundtable discussions about current events and current issues. Will Stribling is at the Capitol as MPB News' legislative reporter. I'll have a link to Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Broadcasting's YouTube channel on this show's information page, along with the Mississippi Public Service Commission's YouTube channel. We're talking about the Public Service Commission with one of its commissioners, Chris Brown. But before we get back to Chris, we have a lot of calls on the line. So let's go ahead and take our first one. David from Horn Lake, you're on the line.
Thank you for taking my call. If I remember correctly, the state of Mississippi tried to sue Tennessee over the water aquifer. They claimed that their pumps were sucking water north of the Mississippi-Tennessee border, and they lost that lawsuit. So I don't know if it was tit for tat or retaliation or whatnot, but where I live, we used to have open sewer pit lagoons. We did away with them and raised our water bill 5%. For 5 years, and it's compounded. Anyway, I've got some of the highest water and sewer rates in all of North Mississippi. They opened up a new sewer plant. It's already out of capacity, and parts of North DeSoto County pumps their sewage north to Memphis, and they treat it. They had a lawsuit, and from what I understand, they lost the lawsuit, so we're going to have to build our own sewage treatment plants to handle all of our sewage instead of pumping it north to from Memphis and Shelby County to treat it. My question to you is, with all the rapid growth that I'm seeing in DeSoto County, how are we going to keep up? Because them sewage treatment plants are not cheap. How are we going to pay for all this unbridled growth? And that's my question. And an update on that sewage lawsuit with Memphis and Shelby County.
Commissioner, to the extent you can speak to these things, you know, water and sewer obviously is vital services for any community. Yep. Tell us how the Public Service Commission handles that, and to the extent possible, any update that you can give us on some current things going on that the caller just kindly mentioned.
Of course, being 4 months on the job, we're not caught up to speed 100%, but I'm a little bit aware of what's going on there up there, that a lot of that sewer water treatment was handled by the city of Memphis, and I know that there was, it's a municipal issue, so we don't have a lot of oversight over municipalities. But to answer the gentleman's question, there is a tremendous growth in DeSoto County, and it is going to take tremendous infrastructure investment by those local municipalities to try to handle that growth. And I think that's the growing pains that they're experiencing up there, is that it has exploded. I grew up in DeSoto County and left there. I think I left there in the sixth grade, which kind of dates me a little bit. But State Line Road and Roscoe Road, all that was just two lane and wasn't a whole lot there. Now it's just exploded. So they're having a hard time keeping up with that extra infrastructure. And I know it's going to be tough, but the city of South Haven and Horn Lake and Hernando just have to step up and get the job done. And a lot of it, any input that we have on rates, obviously we'll consider those things as they come before us in our docket meetings. But we do try to keep those rates as low as possible where we have purview over it, and we do make sure that they're providing the service that they're supposed to provide.
And that segues nicely to a question I had, and you can pick any arena you prefer, but utility rates, how are they determined? I'm sure we could talk for hours on that, but is there a simple explanation for our listeners to appreciate how utility rates are created?
Great question. And yeah, we could talk a long time about that, but rates are based on utilities cost of service. So our staff, the rate regulated utilities in the state, they make annual filings with the commission that tries to project out the cost that they expect to incur over the next 12-month period. The commission and staff then we in turn review those inputs to ensure they're legitimate to the public interest. So we try to interject free market into a monopoly system. From there, the commission sets the rate to allow the utilities to allow the utility an opportunity to collect that amount. Plainly stated, utilities are private companies, and the PSC, we're tasked with regulating to ensure the behavior of the utility is as close to a private company and competing in a market as possible. We also try to monitor and regulate the behavior to produce market-sensitive prices for captive customers. We balance the interests of utility and the customer themselves, or the ratepayer. The standard we're held to is to ensure that rates are just and reasonable, and that's based on the cost of what it takes to provide those services. The cost incurred by utilities must be prudently incurred and used and useful towards the continued provision of that utility service.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We've got another caller on the line. Let's go to Suzanne in Mendenhall. Suzanne, you're on the line.
Hi. Good morning. I have a question for the Public Service Commission. Good morning, madam. Does the Public Service Commission regulate the co-op utilities like Mississippi Power, et cetera, the same way they do Entergy? Or do they have a different set of rules or a different oversight? And I'll hang up.
Thank you for the question. The co-ops, as long as you have a vote, if you can vote and approve a board to represent you, then they pretty much, we do very little oversight or regulation of that co-op because, again, as a ratepayer, you have direct you can choose who your representative is on those respective boards. So we do regulate or oversee Entergy or Mississippi Power that sells power to those co-ops. But the co-ops themselves, we have very little regulatory oversight, again, predicated or based on the fact that they have a local board that their ratepayers or members of that co-op can choose.
Commissioner, I'm going to follow up with a different question. And Suzanne, thank you for your phone call. To what degree does the Public Service Commission get involved in cell phone service and any regulation with that?
Very little. We don't have a lot of oversight. I think we had a little bit of oversight over AT&T back in before 2012, and the legislature changed the rules there. So we have very, very little oversight over cell phones.
And what about unwanted calls that we all enjoy receiving on our phone from time to time?
Yeah.
Does your entity have any involvement in that and trying to regulate or limit it?
Do you need an extended warranty on your car?
apparently someone thinks so.
A lot of people think so. The legislature actually, as of last year, the Public Service Commissioner, we no longer oversee telemarketers or robocalls. The legislature actually moved that to the AG's office. They're doing a great job over there for what they have. It makes more sense to be over there. When Mississippi Telephone Solicitation Act passed or started, we as the Public Service Commission regulated telephone service. There was a nexus between the PSC and the no-call division, so we kind of were over that until last year. Once it was the phone service was deregulated, the PSC in Mississippi was an outlier around the country, where most states had put that under the AG's offices in their respective states. They have a bigger stick, so to speak. You know, when you get a letter from the Attorney General, it's a little more threatening than if you get it from the Public Service
Sure.
Commission. So, but they do a great job. I would refer folks just so they have the number. If you have calls that you're dealing with from robocalls or telemarketers, the number at the AG's office is 1-800-281-4418, or you can call 601-359-4230.
Okay, Commissioner, thank you for that. So we've covered rates. We've talked about some of the different things that you have jurisdiction over. I think you mentioned natural gas. Y'all regulate that as well.
Yes.
Any interesting components to these various utilities that you regulate? Things that might surprise a listener that they wouldn't think that would be involved. And a little background, you know, I think some of us, and I'm guilty of this, it's like the refrigerator works because it has water. I don't know where that water comes from. And I feel like this may be some of the work that y'all do. It's like it's so behind the scenes. We're so used to it. We don't really appreciate the care that y'all are giving to make sure that we continue to have it.
Yeah, and it's definitely a service that, especially through the cold winters, that comes in handy if you like hot water. We do have a part of the Public Service Commission that is that goes out and is line safety, and they do a fantastic job. We've got a great team there that kind of goes and tries to oversight and inspect any issues that are there. We do permit areas for these natural gas companies to go into. Who they service and kind of their infrastructure costs as well. So they're regulated just like the electric power companies are.
And I also noticed in some of the materials that you've got an excellent website with some really good information. I encourage our listeners to take a look at that. And it does have all three district commissioners listed there. I understand you probably hear from the public. What kind of things can the public contact the Public Service Commission and, for lack of a better phrase, complain about or express concerns?
Sure. Yeah. Any questions you have, our staff, we welcome the call. So we field the calls for just about anything. Sometimes if it's Googling the weather, we'll help you do that. So any questions that you have, in our name, we're actually called Public Service. So people take that literally, and so do we. So if there's something that we can help you with, call us. If we can't help you, we'll get you to the right people. So we stand by ready to help on any issue. We don't have any regulatory oversight over AT&T, but we constantly get calls that are trying to address that, and we hit it head on and try to facilitate a solution for the ratepayer with AT&T. Kind of interesting story. I had one lady call, and she had a tree that was leaning over a power line over, I think it was November, December, January. And she was afraid the tree was going to fall. Well, the tree was in the county's right of way, not the electric company's right of way. And so she couldn't get a solution to it. So we picked up the phone and we called the local supervisor and the state rep in that area. And they both jumped on it, and we got that tree cut so it didn't fall on that power line. So I tell that story to say, we're here to help you do just about anything, and if we can't fix it, we'll get you the right people that can.
Great, Commissioner. Thank you.
You're listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. We're swapping up hosts for today. I'm Marissa Vaughn from MPB, and my wonderful co-host is Adam Kilgore, General Counsel for the Mississippi Bar. We hope you'll subscribe to our podcast or find MPB Think Radio recordings at mpbonline.org/radio. Zap the gap. Unfortunately, there are areas in the state of Mississippi that still lack good wireless coverage. No internet access, no natural gas. The Public Service Commission of Mississippi would like to hear from you. They have surveys on their website for you to fill out, so I guess you need to get to internet to fill them out. Your local library might be a place to access their surveys. I'll have a link on the show's information page about this. We're talking about the Public Service Commission of Mississippi with our guest, Commissioner Chris Brown.
Commissioner, thank you again for being with us today. Segues nicely into a good question about broadband and accessibility in our state. Can you tell us what the Public Service Commission's mission is for broadband service?
Yes, sir. If I can digress just a minute. In the lead-up, you mentioned Zap the Gap. I was at a visiting with a friend of mine down in Jackson. His mother lives in West Point, and he just said, "Hey, I have a quick question for you." I was like, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "They have natural gas, atmospheres, natural gas on the other side of the train tracks, but not on ours." And I said, "Well, how many people do you have over there?" So he kind of gave me the number of how many people. Well, in an effort to zap the gap, we contacted Atmos, and they evaluated the situation, so they're going to actually run a gas line under the railroad tracks and serve those homes natural gas. So zap the gap does work, so I would encourage your listeners, if there's an unserved area, reach out to us. We can't guarantee that we can get gas to you, but we can sure try. We were successful in that one in West Point. Anyway, thanks for your question, too, Adam. The legislature created a group called BEAM. The state's policy was clear that BEAM is an agency for broadband. So BEAM actually handles the money that is funneled to it to deploy broadband and determines where the broadband is deployed. The Public Service Commission, we perform an auditing function for the FCC or the federal government on federal dollars. The state's broadband policy is best held at BEAM. So the legislature set BEAM up to handle that broadband deployment. So it's kind of out of the PSC's hands, so to speak, on as far as where it's deployed and how it's deployed.
And that BEAM stands for Broadband Expansion and Accessibility of Mississippi. Is that correct?
That's correct, Adam. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Okay, so what to the extent that you're involved, and I understand there's another entity, what do we look like now broadband-wise, and what might the future be, if you have a sense of that?
Yeah, what we've seen with the Broadband Expansion Accessibility Act and other investments that the legislature has made over the years, we have a lot of broadband service that we didn't have. I live in rural Monroe County, which is Monroe County Power, and Monroe County Power decided to take on that task of deploying broadband in our area, in which we benefited from. I've got high-speed internet at home. I've got children that actually do online college courses at home now because we have high-speed internet, and it is literally the superhighway to the future. People work from home. It's amazing the things that you can do. Telemedicine is big. So those things to require us to go forward does require high-speed internet. And so we work hand in glove with BEAM as much as we can to find those spots that need it and help facilitate that deployment to those areas. So broadband is, again, that next avenue for economic growth in our state for sure.
Well, we appreciate what you and others are doing in that regard. It is vital to our growth, and obviously we've had recent events with the pandemic and such. We realized if we didn't notice before, we certainly knew it by then that how important it was. Transitioning to another topic that is covered on the Public Service Commissioner's website is solar for schools. And just from a practical standpoint, you think about schools, they really do have huge roofs. I would think that would be a great place for solar panels. So tell us about solar panels for school and what's going on there.
Sure. Anytime that you can produce power locally, it makes sense. So schools can use, I know there was a push to use 16th section land to allow schools to lease that land to solar photovoltaic or solar farms or wind farms to help get a little extra revenue for the schools. So I know that is moving forward as we continue down the path of renewables and energies that's reliable and affordable. So it is exciting to see what the future may hold. I know nuclear is quickly becoming kind of the poster child for net zero and carbon-free power generation. So that gap to get us there may actually be that solar and wind and natural gas to get us to that bridge, be the bridge to get us to that clean energy that's nuclear.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. We're going to take a break and go to the phone lines for just a minute. We have Charlene in Louisville on the line. Thank you for your patience, Charlene.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Charlene.
Does your jurisdiction cover CSPIR?
It does not. We have very little regulatory. Anytime you have an option, the Public Service Commission normally doesn't have direct regulatory oversight of that company. So the fact that there's CSPIR, AT&T, Verizon, and other choices, the statutory does not statutes do not allow us to directly oversee them. But if you have an issue with them, contact our office, and we'll definitely do our best to try to help you get a resolution.
Who is my public service commissioner in Winston County?
Ma'am?
Who is my public service commissioner for Winston County?
You can call us. Be glad to help you.
I don't have any number.
I'll give you that. It's 1-800-637-7722. Give us a call. We'd be glad to help you. We have folks ready to help you now.
And Commissioner, I know you just gave the number. I'll repeat it for the audience. 1-800-632-7722. Is that correct?
1-800-637-7722.
Excuse me. I can't read my own handwriting. 637-7722. Now, and something that we may be able to more easily remember, I've been referring to this website. Could you give us the website for the Public Service Commission, please? And if I had it pulled up, I'd do it for you.
Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a good point. I never go.
You never go there because you work there. We will provide this before the end of the show and make sure that everyone has access to that as well.
We're right on top of that, weren't we? Adam?
Yeah, we certainly were. We did great. It was graceful, and we've moved on.
It's psc.ms.
Say that again, Commissioner. We think we lost you for a second.
psc.ms.gov.
There we go. And gov is spelled G-O-V, if I recall correctly. All right, there we go. Good deal.
Thank you for your call, Charlene, and we hope you get that taken care of. But let's stay on the phone lines for just a second. We have Roger from Florence on the line. Roger?
Hey, Roger.
I'm sorry to bother you again. It's cool. Whole college. This is a different subject. I spent a career with the telephone company back when we converted some mechanical switches to electronics.
Hey, Roger, can you start over? We're losing you.
Say again?
We're having a hard time hearing you, Roger. Can you start over?
Yeah, I had a cool company. And at that time, we transferred from using mechanical switches. I was in traffic engineering to electronics, and they've evolved a lot since then. And at that time, and I'm told by people with the phone company, even now, that there is still a unique identifying number or digital identification at the time any call from anywhere leaves a line. And that number can be preserved and should be, and this is an opinion now, should be preserved to be able to be used to prevent this business of calls from every town in Mississippi using numbers that are fake because they insert a different calling number. That ought to be preventable, and I'd like the Public Service Commission to inquire of the telephone company that they supervise for lay purposes. Why can't they do that? That's not an attorney general function. They won't be, well, they might be interested. But that ought to be able to be done according to some experts that I've talked to fairly recently. Maybe I'm wrong. And I'm just going to hang up and listen because I bothered you enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. All right, so Commissioner, I know we had talked about phone calls earlier, and there's a role now with the attorney general's office. I think what our caller is talking about is the ability for someone to use, I think there's a term of art I don't recall, but it's like a ghost number or something like that, where you're in essence using another existing number to make telemarketing calls. Do you have any insight on that, sir?
It is a problem. We definitely acknowledge that. We don't, again, back to our previous discussion, we don't directly regulate those telephone services anymore. That was changed in 2012, so we don't have that regulatory authority to oversee that. Any authority that's there to oversee that kind of activity is at the AG's office or the national do not call list or registrations. If you have a complaint, go to register at www.donotcall.gov, or you can call by registering your number at 1-888-382-1222.
Okay, great. And at the Attorney General's office, do you recall, is that the Consumer Protection Division, or is that another division of the AG's office?
I think they've got a new division, but their number is 601-359-3680. And again, they're doing a good job over there at chasing this down. And we'll help ratepayers any way we can with any of these issues. Like I said, if we can't handle it directly, we're still going to help you out.
All right, so, Commissioner, we've had a couple of different things come up today, and there's an active role for the Public Service Commission in some aspects, and it sounds like there's a supporting role to a degree in other instances. What about interacting with the federal government? I get the sense that federal agencies may be involved, and I think there's been some federal funding that different states have received for different things, such as broadband. Tell me how that works in your experience there.
Yeah, like I said, back to the broadband, the federal government is deploying some funds to try to help develop broadband. We don't have direct oversight on where it's deployed, but we do definitely handle the funds coming down from the federal government. So we kind of audit that to be in compliance with the federal government, or the staff does. But it's anytime we can use funds to get services to the people, we're going to do it as quick as we can.
We're talking with Chris Brown, one of the Public Service Commissioners, about the agency, and we can take your questions on our email address, legalterms@mpbonline.org. Where can you get more info about what currently is going on with the Public Service Commission? I'll tell you that next. This is In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. Thank you for being part of In Legal Terms. If you've missed any of our program, you can listen to the whole show on the MPB Think Radio YouTube channel. It's also available on the MPB Public Media app, as are most of our local shows. We're swapping up hosts today. I'm Marissa Vaughn from MPB, and my co-host is Adam Kilgore, General Counsel for the Mississippi Bar. At 11 a.m. Central on Tuesdays, following our over-the-air broadcast, you can hear Southern Remedy Relatively Speaking with Dr. Susan Buttress on MPB Think Radio. If you've been listening to this hour, you've heard lots of great information about how the Public Service Commission takes care of you and your rights. If you'd like to take advantage of some of the assistance we've talked about, just go to their website, www.psc.ms.gov. And we are talking with Public Service Commissioner Chris Brown.
Commissioner, thank you again for being with us. We've got one more segment on here on the show today. One of my favorite questions, and we're still accepting calls, of course, but one of my favorite questions to ask is what else? Tell us what else the Public Service Commission does, or something that we might be surprised by that y'all have a role in.
I appreciate that. We talked a lot about what we don't do. So we do have an active role in trying to, again, serve the people of Mississippi to make sure they have good quality drinking water, safe, reliable, and inexpensive power as possible. One thing we've done the first 4 months, the three new guys, we kind of look at it with a different view, and we were able to identify some redundant services that we had in the Public Service Commission, and the three of us kind of put our heads together and corrected that, saving the ratepayers anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 a month. That was one little small change that we did to eliminate some redundant services that we had in outside contracts. Also, I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on in the Northern District with Holly Springs Utility District, but last year it was kind of brought to our attention that a lot of people were having some very serious issues there with reliable power. So we went in as my house, being a House of Representatives, the Speaker at the time, Speaker Gunn, and Speaker Pro Tem White allowed me to go up and do some field hearings to try to discern exactly what's going on and why it's happening. So we actually had a three series of meetings. That's again, it's on YouTube, but we actually brought in TVA, which is, provides the power, Hollow Springs Utility District, and consumer or ratepayer input. And what we found was absolutely amazing. The legislature did commission some funds to try to evaluate the system. So they brought in TVPPA, which is representative of all the TVA Valley, so all those utility districts that are served by TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, all are members of this kind of co-op, if you will, that represents them to TVA and their interest. So they came in and did an evaluation of the system and basically said that there's vegetation that hasn't been cleared in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and just the estimate alone for the vegetation clearing is over $15 million, plus the system just has not been updated in years. So it's an absolute mess up there, and people are suffering because of the breakdown of the system. The employees are doing a fantastic job, doing all they can, but what we were was represented to us, there's only 4 linemen for over 13,000 connections, and that spans 3 portions of 3 different counties and actually goes into Tennessee. So the governor yesterday, kind of bringing up speed, the governor yesterday signed a bill to allow the Public Service Commission to have a little bit of authority to go in and try to fix that situation, to try to help those people in those areas. One of the constituents up there actually testified that he was out of power for over 96 hours. That's 96 hours. And that's a lot of times not even ice storms. It's just the vegetation and the age of the system has just declined such that it cannot supply the power correctly to the people. Power surges, so it messes up their deep freezes. They can't go out of town not knowing if the power is going to go off. It's a real eye-opener up there. And so we got on that last year through the summer, had a series of meetings. The legislature passed a bill, again, to allow us to get to work on that, try to figure out some solutions and help the people of that utility district of Holly Springs to have reliable power. So that's our next task. So that's going to be over the summer. We're going to try to go in with kind of, I guess, if you will, hearings to find out exactly, again, what's going on. So Holly Springs Utility District, the city itself, and the people of that area will have a chance to have an input, and then we will try to figure out what the path forward is up there. So it's very interesting.
Well, it is interesting, Commissioner. I did not expect to discuss vegetation with you today. You said it twice,
no.
and you quoted quite a high quote, to be redundant, related to clearing that. So
yes.
Short answer is are the utilities themselves, that company, responsible for keeping vegetation clear, or is that a combination of others that have to deal with that?
No, it's that utility district to make sure that vegetation is cleared off the line. So as you can, if you can imagine, if the wind blows and the tree limbs fall, then you can be without power. So they have right-of-way clearance or maintenance that makes sure that that vegetation is off those power lines. So it's definitely incumbent upon the utility district. And Holly Springs is unique. There's only 3 in the state that was kind of grandfathered in 1956 that allows city municipalities to provide power beyond 1 mile of their municipal district. So there are over 80% of the business of that utility district is outside the city, but they have no direct input on the mayor or the alderman. So it's basically no representation at all. And that's why the legislature allowed us to kind of step in and be that advocate for that 80% of the people outside that city limits.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, Commissioner. Well, we are going to have to wrap it up today. It's been a great show, though. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry, Glenn from Brandon. We are not going to be able to take your call today. But this has been a great show, Adam. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marissa. I think
hey,
the backup
job,
quarterbacks have performed well, and our guest, Commissioner Brown, we learned a lot today. Thank you for your time. I know you have a lot on your plate. I have to commend you for being on the job for 4 months, and I know you and the other commissioners are new. The fresh look that you're bringing to this and the service that you provide is very important. So thank you, sir.
And Adam, I will say we got a great team. Commissioner Stamps and Commissioner Carr and myself are going to work hard to make Mississippi even better.
All right. Well, thank you, Commissioner Brown, for participating in our show. Our team consists of board engineer and podcast producer Abram Nanny. For this broadcast of In Legal Terms, I'm Marissa Vaughn, and my co-host has been Adam Kilgore, general counsel for the Mississippi Bar. Listen to In Legal Terms next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.